The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Frank Cotolo. He just talks and 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 talks.
He just talks and 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 talks.
Yeah. you are within the sound of my voice, you know the sound of this voice. My name is Frank Catolo, and the man whose name adjoins the title of the show. It's me. Who else? The godfather of internet radio, that is not self-proclaimed, the bard of broadcasting, that is self-proclaimed, the king of the web, I'm the third man and the vegetable man all rolled up into one, I'm the only man who can get you through the next 2 hours. Stay with us, we have a special guest, a lot of talking and a lot of listening. You should do too, listen. To Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Catolo Chronicles starts now. I had to jump in there. I had to jump in there with the rest of the broadcasters in the world who do that now. Say, here I am. But you didn't know this show started? I think you did. I think we all know. It gets tough to watch television. It's tough to watch television in the first place. It gets tough to watch television and be treated like an idiot. And that's what a lot of them are doing. You know, I mean, you look up, you say, oh, geez, what's on right now? You know, you look it up, or you look, you don't even look it up anymore. There's no more TV Guide. That's right. There is a TV Guide. Believe it or not, it's still sold. I saw it at Weiss Markets. The TV Guide. But it's not a little... like it used to be like a little chapbook thing now. It's not anymore. It's this big thing and it's got thousands of channels. There's no way. The TV Guide went out of business pretty much, but they still publish somehow. I don't know if they have a website. Maybe they do. Maybe they have a but you know what you do is you watch on the guide of your cable, whatever cable that is, and it's probably Comcast because they own the world, right? So you go up there and you look and you go, oh, 9:30, it's time for this show I want to see. So you don't turn anymore. There's no more knobs. There's no more dials. Now you just click this, click that. You click it, and what happens? What shows up? The show you want. That one, that program, or whatever show, program, whatever you consider you want to call it, whether it's entertainment, whether it's news, whether it's education, whether it's educational, institutional entertainment, or whatever the hell it is there on that, whatever you're listening. You're not even watching on a TV anymore. Could be watching on a phone. Could be watching on a gadget, an iPhone, an iTab, a TibTab. Ay, 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 right? So you know. You don't need somebody to say, nah, hey, that show you want to watch starts now. I mean, what is what? Over and over again, as time goes on, more and more things bother me. You know, I don't believe me. I don't stay up at night because of these things. What I do and how I deal with this is I just shout at the television. Luckily, most of the time I live alone, so I can scream or do whatever I want. I'll bang the wall or I'll yell. And it really, it's good therapy. Gets it out of my system. And believe me, I got a system. We all have a system. We all got to get it out of our system. Yeah, it's getting hot. I had to put on the fan. My name is Frank Catolo. I'm the man whose name adjoins the title of the show. And all we are saying, well, that's what we're saying. Give Pete a chance. Throw that in there for a couple of reasons. I always like to watch it. You can't see it because I see it on this is radio, so you don't see it. You can go see it somewhere that it's broadcast. You know where. I see it. I like to have a friend in there and a friend of this show who has passed away a while ago. Mr. Paul Williams is in that video, the famous video of Give Peace a Chance down in Montreal in some hotel room with John Yoko and a whole bunch of people. And one of those people was Paul Williams. I like to see Paul there. You know, his eyes like, you don't know if you don't know him. But anyway, that's what I enjoy. But Give Peace a Chance, kind of plays into what we're going to talk about, because we're going to be talking with Barbara Gone Muller, Gone Girl. I love my friend Erwin, who publicity guy, who gets me a lot of guests these days, And and he spells the name, Barbara Gaughan. But, you know, a lot of people look at this and go, how do you say that name? They would say Gaughan, Gaughan, you know, because it's G-A-U-G-H-E-N, which is some language. In one language, you pronounce it, I don't know, it might be like some kind of Scottish, Yiddish, Yiddish, Scottish, no, some kind of up there. I can't think of the name of those kind of people. But it's Gaughan, as in Gaughan Girl, you know, Gaughan, G-O-N-E. So they put in parentheses. It's like your name's not long enough because you have three names. And one of them is difficult for people to pronounce. You have to put parentheses in your name. Anyway, those of us who are not happy about, you know what else they do? When did this happen? Barbara's going to be with us. I'm going to talk about a lot of things, including her book, Revolutionary Conversations, which also fits into the stuff we're doing, and Peace on Earth, Goodwill Toward Men and Women. Why when they play a clip now on a news show or a talk show, why do they use the phrase, take a listen? And then they say this, one man is talking to another man or girl or whatever, whoever is talking to each other, right? And they go like, and they say, we're going to play this clip of, Ding Dong Harry saying what he said this afternoon. And then we'll talk about him on the other side. That's the only thing, on the other side. In other words, when the clip is over, it's not enough to say, and then we'll talk about the clip. No, then we'll talk about the clip. Then we'll talk about it on the other side. The other side of the clip. And they say the same thing over and over again. These catchphrases. And this comes into play because last week we did an awful lot of time on Hunker Down. I don't want to hear it. Because I've been hearing it again in all sorts of different references. I don't want to get into it. But now they go, we'll talk about it on the other side. Take a listen. Now, I remember take a look. I grew up and people said, take a look. Take a look at this. Hey, look what I have here. Take a look. Take a look. Take a look. Now, taking was always used for the sense of sight. Take a look. Now we have take a listen. And you've got to look because it's a clip. It's a visual. So they don't say take a look. And if there's sound, you will listen, of course. What are you going to do? You see, should I listen to, should I shut my ears and just watch it? No, it's a clip. It has a visual and an audio. Take a listen. Take a look and a listen. It even say take a look and a listen. And then we'll talk about it. Period. I know this stuff drives me nuts. It just drives me nuts. Because there's nothing original about it. It just pops up and then everybody says it. It's like something, like a memo goes in the morning. There's a broadcasting memo. Man, I gotta ask Jiggy Jaguar about this. Do you get one of these memos in the morning? It's like, here are the phrases now, from now on, if you take a listen is the phrase. Don't listen. Listen is a command in English. Take a listen. Take a look. Take a listen. What do they do? How about this? Take a sniff. this thing smells. Here, take a sniff. Right? Take a feel. Look at this thing. What a weird looking thing. Take a feel. Right? So that would cover a sense of touch, a sense of sight, a sense of sound, sense of nose, sense of smell. What scent am I missing? Why don't you just take a walk? My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And we're here live for 2 weeks in a row because the weather is cleared up. It's still a little warm. That's why, hear that little hum in the back you may hear? That's a fan. It's on low because I still need to circulate some air in this studio, in this reservoir of closeness and lack of, take a breath. How about that? Take a breath. Remember the cigarette? Remember cigarette? It was a jingle. Take a puff. It's springtime. Da da da. Da da da. So I don't know what was that? Newport cigarette? Menthol cigarette. Take a puff. There goes one. Take a puff. Take a breath. Take a listen. And then we'll talk about it on the other side. There's no other side to this show, by the way. We're not talking about it afterwards. We're going to be talking with Barbara Muller. Let's forget the gone, I guess. And I wonder, since it's a hyphen, I guess we're talking about marriage names. I know when I know women used to do that. I don't think the women do that anymore. You know, it began before women were really becoming empowered. They were putting keeping their name and hyphenating it with the name of whoever they married, whomsoever they married. Now they don't even have to put the last name. You can keep their own last name, and there's something, you know, and as long as you've signed it and you're legal, it's fine. But no one knows you're married, and it's nobody's business anyway. Ain't nobody's business what you do. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to talk to Barbara about UNA USA, United Nations Association, I believe it is USA. There's all sorts of things. And I want to really talk about this book, Revolutionary Conversations, because it sounds like something and we don't know exactly what it might be. But thank you, Irwin, if you're listening. If you're not listening, you're listening on the rebound. Any of you people listening on the rebound may be listening to Cthulhu Chronicles during the week after the live stream. The live stream is recorded, and then it is distributed to many other stations. And lots of people hear it, lots of other places. And it sounds live because this is what we do. And from the very beginning, when podcasts were becoming popular, and thousands of people said, "Whoa, I can do a podcast," and then they disappeared because they don't know anything about broadcasting, because they didn't care, and they didn't love it, and they didn't do it. I don't know, whatever. It didn't make them famous, so they ran away. Good riddance to all of you. But then what happened? Then the new guys came in, okay? And then, so then we live in a world where it's like Mark Maron is what? He is the king of podcasting? Yeah. Sure. What was that all about? That little rant. In every show, I find a little place to, a little punching bag, a little Joe Palooka to punch. Does anyone, of my younger audience know what I say when I say Joe Palooka? No one knows. I have to, well, anyway, we're going to have coming up in the weeks to come, which would be the weeks to come coming up. I want you to take a listen. On the other side of it, you'll know it. A special secret guest, someone whose name we will not tell you, and we will not identify this person at all, but it is a person who is a member of the youngest generation, or the penultimate youngest generation, or, you know, the youngest generation, of people to listen to this show. We've been on forever. Yes, I mean, as far as internet broadcasting is concerned, forever, and most of the time live, and then just recorded so that it could play other places. Matter of fact, we syndicated before anybody syndicated, and half of those stations, if not 90%, which is 40% more than half, are even available anymore, because now everybody streams, and they you can get anything anytime anywhere. But those things that come to you that are still things that are extremely special, okay, and not just run-of-the-mill places where you will have advertisements to keep them going. I'm not saying people shouldn't make money doing this. I'm saying I never made money doing this. I got a lot of perks, but no money. That's what I'm saying, you know. I mean, bless all you people making money with this stuff, that people like me, and there are a number of us who have built this. We built this city so that you could walk in it and be paid millions of dollars. You know, the other thing, The other thing I was going to talk about last week, I really ran out of time, but I want to thank everybody who wrote to me and talked to me about the GoFraudMe piece that we did last week. GoFraudMe is a website you need to get involved with looking at, reading, checking into, like you do with Snopes to find out scammers, with the GoFundMe scammers. Now, I heard tonight on the CBS Evening News, and let's face it, if the CBS Evening, you do, you get it. Even the CBS Evening News is on like 24 hours now. Did you know that? You could stream CBS News just constantly. Watch it on TV, watch it on your iPad, watch it. Okay. I heard that next year, more than half of all the phone calls made to cell phones are going to be, you ready for this? Scam phones, bot calls, robot calls, bot calls. Now, I have a lot of fun with bot calls, and you know that from the beginning of this show, if you've been here or heard, talk to people who have been here from the beginning or way back when we were breaking all the ground here. There I go again. So you know that I love this stuff. I love the emails, the dumb emails and the scams, and I catch them and I do them and I scream at them and I get them really PO'd, which is good because that's what they deserve. Believe this? So you go fraud me is great. There's going to be more. There's an app now. Some guy, I don't know, you'll have to look this up. I didn't write it down because I was too busy not caring. There's a guy who made an app. Created an app, wrote an app. What do you do to make, do you make an app? You build an app? He has created an application that he can play, can stop the robocalls. When you get a robocall, something comes in. It says this phone call's out of order or phone is out of order. So, you know, and they get, so, but go fraud me. Has the stories and keeps up to date with all of the frauds, fakes, and you'd be surprised at how many are out there still. To this day, going into the 19th year of the new millennium, and still, what P.T. Barnum said decades ago, maybe a century ago, is true. There's a sucker born every minute. Doesn't matter how many generations we have. Doesn't matter how large and in how complex the technology becomes. Right now, wait, here goes, ready? Bing! There goes another sucker just been born in some place in the world. And in the next what? We just spent, that's it. Another 60 seconds, even less now because I was talking, another sucker will be born. Suckers being born in every language, in every culture, every race, color, and creed. Suckers are being born. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what eventually you believe to do or what you do or what you think or how long you'll live. Suckers come in so many different forms. And they're being born every minute. P.T. Barnum. Who, by the way, will never be born again. He's dead forever. As most will be. Unless, of course, you have other guests that I have who say we're not. Oh, who's to tell? I'll tell you one thing, also though, and that is the books. I sell books through Amazon. Good books. Digital books and books you can get. Analog books. And if you have the money to shell out, you can buy all of my books for almost $25. Yeah, that's nothing, right? I mean, I see books out there, and I may have books out there that'll cost you that much soon, maybe. And what I'm saying to you is that you can get all the books I have now for $25 or under, and I'm just warning you. Like there's a warning. That's not a warning. That would be bad because that would mean something bad would happen to you. This is not a warning because you can live every day of your life and be very happy without any of my books or any books. Well, you should read, but you know what I'm saying? And that is another one. I'm telling you right now that when the next year comes or very soon, those books may not be available for these prices. I'm telling you this right now. I've told you this before, and I don't say it all the time, but I'm saying it now. So go to Amazon while you can do it. Get the books I have there. You like, I don't know what you like. They're entertaining, romantic, they're dramatic, dramatically romantic, and entertainingly dramatic, and entertainingly romantic, and romantically dramatic. Dramatic and dramatically romantic, you know, the whole thing. Also, funny. And you can get both copies of Molotov Memoirs at blurb.com, and then you go and you can get those in digital. Now I'm talking about. Then you go to lulu.com, and you can get, and there's, are there four or three, the three books there? Three books? Are there four? Wait, One, two, I don't, whatever. The point is that for like a little under 25, maybe 25, maybe 25, 50, I don't know, figure it out. And you download them, so there's no mail, there's no postage. You can get them all. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You could buy them as gifts. Look, don't buy one. I think there's some protected. These are books. I want to tell you how good these books, you know, good. I want to tell you how good these books have become to people who read these books. It's already been scammed. They've already been hacked at least once. I think they got rid of it. I think they found it. I think Amazon found these people and threw them out. They were hacking the book so that, you know, because why? Because like I told you, the scammers are out there. The dark web is getting darker. More about that and everything else that we'll learn about as we continue Cthulhu Chronicles through the end, at least the end of this year. We hope to be here again next year and doing other stuff, doing this stuff, talking to new people. And when we talk to, and what's great about this show is not like these podcasts, okay, because we talk to people and we just talk. We can talk for the half, an hour and a half. That's great. As long as people could stay, the whole show could be that. So go get the books and remember that you can get what else? Oh, God, there's so much. I've been, you know, I don't keep notes for specific things in the show, as you know, because if you read the blurbs and then, you know, on the CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com and then you come here and then it takes us a while to talk about something. Even when I'm alone and I talk about it and then something else comes up. But there's tons of things that we're going to talk about as time goes on. I may take these notes. So during the week, I just scribble these things. Like one or two lines that could turn into like an hour worth of talking when I'm on my own. And yet, yeah, because I'm not going to do it. I never have done any work. This is an existential experience for all of us. And I'm the only person who can get you through these 2 hours. And it's not FaceTime. One of these days I'm going to find exactly, I guess that doesn't, not, you know, these phrases that are coming about because of the digital platform. I understand it. I mean, every profession, that's it. Let's just say profession and area of profession has jargon. And so here comes the jargon, you know, but not television. No, take a listen. Don't take a listen. Just listen and watch. I wonder, you know, I'm going to ask one of those guys when I see them, one of those, or talk to them, or I guess you could tweet them, but will they tweet back? Hey, there's another one. They talk about, and I've said this before, I don't want to hear you saying, I tweeted out. You don't tweet out, because you don't tweet in, you don't tweet out. If you said something, if you have a word that has an opposite, and you can't do it with the word you're connecting it to, oh boy, there goes another hit the mic, see, because I'm gesticulating, and I shouldn't be, because I'm on radio. Or this kind of radio. We're going to be talking to Barbara Muller in a matter of moments. Skype is the name. Now, and I don't even get me started with Skype. Because this, the new Skype has been in my computer because I had to change it. And then what do they do when I open it tonight? Because I want to connect to Barbara and get her on my list. What do I have to do? It goes, do you want me to change your computer? And the thing comes up like downloaded. For God's sakes, it's been downloaded. I have a, and then they, oh, what's going on? Maybe it's just all moving too fast for a young man like me. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show. And it is a show because we've programmed nothing. All of it comes to you existentially as it happens right now. And in the now that is following, and there's another now right there. The nows keep coming on. We're going to talk to Barbara and learn a lot about everything, the United Nations and these programs and her book and what it's like to try to literally work every day. And I think that's what she does, works for peace. How does somebody even do that? We're going to find out in a moment here on Cthulhu Chronicles. What we're going to do here is a call, the Skype call. Da-da-da. Oh, there's that. Oh, gosh, there's that sound. Listen to this. It's so loud. We're calling Barbara Mueller.
I'm right here.
How are you, Barbara? I'm sorry you can't see me, but we don't have a camera.
You are calling me and I can't see you.
Yeah, isn't that something?
I wanted to see you. You're cute on the internet. Come on.
Well, Nick, me, it's okay. I don't usually, here's the deal. The deal is this is kind of radio.
And I know, but he wanted to interview me on Skype. What do you think that's all about?
No. You know why? Because these phone connections stink on radio. Skype has really...
Not alone, because I was on two or three shows, and they all wanted to be on Skype. But I look so good tonight. I even got my hair done.
Erwin, you know, it's Erwin's fault. I'm going to blame everything. We almost didn't get together, but I could just see Erwin sitting, because it was, I don't know. I mailed him from the right email, and then so I didn't know you were going to be on.
You're at Yahoo, and he mailed you from Comcast, right?
Right, and I don't go to both of those all the time, see, so...
I have three emails, too. Yeah. Us busy people have a lot of emails, don't we?
Yeah, but you're busier than I.
Now, am I talking to Frank or am I talking to his producer?
No, this is... I am everything. I do it all.
Frank, you're the whole show?
I do everything here. Those days are... You know, I used to have some people with me, but they're all gone. And,
you know, interesting. I prefer it this way. I like to be in charge. I like to talk with you. Right. I don't really want a secretary coming over.
No, nobody. That's not here. Not here.
Now, this is you I'm talking to, right, Frank?
This is me, Frank Catolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show.
Many times I went to your website to see all the things that you've been doing in your life.
Wow. That's very nice of you to take any time out of your life to know anything about mine, because it's not good, Barbara. Hey, Barbara, I want to know a lot more about you. And what I like to do with guests is, I don't read their books till after. I don't, we talk and we meet each other just the way a listener meets you.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm actually, the listener. So I'll ask you questions that everybody would want to know, because I know nothing particularly. Of course, the second and third time a person is on, it's different. But let's do this now, because you've prepared. I'm sure you're prepared because you know what you do. And I don't know a lot about what you do, but the book interests me specifically because of the title. First of all, tell everyone exactly, if you were just to walk up to someone and say, "Hi, I'm Barbara Gone Mueller," and you'd have to say "Gone," because as I told everyone else, a few people will pronounce that correctly.
Uh-huh.
It's like Kenneth Branagh. I still can't pronounce his name. That actor. Kenneth Brognow. Brognow.
Yeah. You're fabulous. That's all I can say. But I always would say I do a lot of speeches.
Yes.
Because I really believe that people don't realize the gift of their life and their destiny is waiting for them.
Oh, boy.
They will just pay attention. So I do a lot of speeches. And every time I'm introduced, I say, "Hi, I'm Barbara from Santa Barbara. Gone, like gone with the wind. And I married Robert Mueller. So I'm Barbara Gone Mueller."
How do you like that, huh?
In airports, and they say, "Hi, Barbara Gone Mueller." They remember.
So you should write a book called Gone Girl. G-A-U-G-H, right? Uh-huh. And that should be about your childhood. Gone Girl, right? You can have that. I'm not going to charge you for that.
That's okay. Free for me, because I'm not able to see you, but you can't even see me.
I have given away so many ideas in this show in like 21, 22 years. It's unbelievable. Okay, from the very beginning, people have been writing. Lord knows what they've done. They've gone out and done all these things I've told them to do.
Well, you're an idea man. Yeah. Let's just put it like that. Radio, yeah. I always remember Martin Luther King saying, and this is really important.
What?
Martin Luther King would say, "If it wouldn't be for radio, my people would not know that they had a future and that they could be part of the world that we live in." You radio announcers, I want you to take a bow. What would we be without you?
You know, I'm not really a radio person, but I do. It's one of the things I do, but this is not about me. I want to know about Barbara, you. I want to know about you. And so does my audience. Now, your connection to the United Nations first, maybe. Is that it? Should we just start there? Where do we start?
We start with that. Let's start with that.
Okay.
You know, I had a dream. I was a little girl, but it wasn't my dream. It was my grandfather.
Well, I thought it was Martin Luther King. He said he had one, too.
I know.
Okay.
My grandfather said to me, after he immigrated from Hungary to avoid World War I, Barbara, you're going to be a peacemaker. And I said, Grandpa, I'm only 5 years old. He said, I know, but you're going to be a peacemaker. And I said, okay, Grandpa. And he said, because I left Hungary at 17 with $1 in my pocket and a couple of Hungarian whatever they were. And I went to the United States and I went to Ellis Island. And look at me today. I own an orchard in San Diego. I had my dream come true to be in freedom and peace. Because war does not work. And so I said, well, Grandpa, I'm 5 years old. What do you want me to do? Start collecting stamps. Because then you will know where everybody is. And you will see that you are not a San Diegan, but you are a citizen of the world.
What a difference. And I love meeting people who are absolutely the opposite of myself. My grandfather showed me a magazine when I was like six, like a Time magazine or Look. Uh-huh. Remember Look magazine and Life magazine? Those big, remember? Said, we're from the same tribe, you and I. Well, and he rolled it up really tightly and he said, you see this? And I said, yes. He said, this can kill someone. And he showed me how I could use a magazine to hit somebody in a certain place and kill them. This is what my grandfather, who came from Italy.
He wanted you to be a man. Now, you remember that.
Italy.
He wanted you to be a man and protect yourself and protect your family.
And it worked, too, because the magazine is mightier than the sword. The point is, what a big difference. Nobody ever told me to make peace. Although someone said, I said, you're a peacemaker. You take a piece of this, you take a piece of that, you take a piece of this, you take a piece of that. And, how did that work within you? Here's an authority figure telling you that at such an age. Give us the next step. How does that, what seed did you plant?
That peace is the only way we're going to survive and have our grandchildren make this world what we want it to be. He wanted us to leave our grandchildren the world that he inherited when he was born.
Okay, but how did, I want to know how it, now you were five and you hear this. He planted that seed. Now I want to know, what was the next step that you realized and moved in that direction?
Well, I was the peacemaker for my family. Oh. If they were having an argument, I was the peacemaker.
Okay.
I was the peacemaker at my school. And I just became a kind of a peacemaker in the moment until I was at La Casa de Maria in Santa Barbara. And in comes this very handsome man from the United Nations. And I say, oh, okay, he's about 20 years older than I am. He was the assistant secretary general and he had come to our conference on what is the meaning of life and what is the meaning of death? And I thought, holy cow, he's here to be our guest speaker.
That's heavy.
It is heavy, yeah, isn't it? Really? What is your meaning of life? So his name was Dr. Robert Mueller. And if you look him up, robertmueller.org or his book, Most of All, They Taught Me Happiness, or our morning little every day we send out a free email, goodmorningworld.org with ideas for a better world. So I meet this man and we start to create ideas for a better world and we start to just fall in love. And I'm thinking, I was divorced. He was single. His wife had died. And I realized, wait a minute, what did my grandfather say? You will be a peacemaker. Robert Mueller was known as the peacemaker of the United Nations. The prophet of hope. He said when he worked with the Secretary General Utant said.
Oh, Utant.
Yes.
Utant, I remember that name from the news.
He spoke where he wrote the speeches for Utant. For all of the Secretary Generals, he entered the United Nations the same way my grandfather said I was going to enter the world for peace. His dream, because he was in Alsace-Lorraine, the French shooting.
Yeah.
And he said to his dad, I'm going to be a peacemaker when I grow up. And his dad said, I pity you, young man. You're going to die poor. There's no such thing as a peacemaker. And he said, I don't care. I'm sick of shooting my cousins, and I'm sick of watching you change your uniform. Five nationalities and never leaving your home, from French to German, and then shooting your cousins. He said, that's insane. And his father said, well, we have to paint the fence now. So they went and painted the fence. And when he was 17 at the University of Strasbourg, he read an essay contest, and the essay contest said, whoever wins this essay gets to have an internship at the newly created United Nations. Whoa. Sat down and wrote that, and he ended up on a boat to the United Nations and spent the next 40 years from intern to assistant secretary general.
I thought I knew his name.
Well, of course you did.
I didn't. Yeah, I guess I grew 40 up.
Books.
Huh?
He wrote 40 books.
I've read at least that many. I don't know if they're all by him, but
fabulous. That's all I can say.
He sounds like I do remember his. Of course, I remember Utant, but Utant was it? He wasn't Utant.
Utant was a man who believed. He would say to my husband, "Do you know, you Catholics, you're spiritual on Sunday." I'm spiritual every single day of the week. I wake up in the morning and I'm spiritual, and I go to bed spiritual. You Catholics. And Robert said, I learned more from Secretary General Utant about the spirit we have inside of us, how we are born with a destiny. And so then one day, I'll tell you a cute little story, because Utant says to Robert, Robert, this United Nations needs a spiritual voice, and we don't have one. And so what does Robert say?
Right.
He was eternal optimist. He said, let's invite the Pope, because the Vatican is a member of the United Nations of the General Assembly.
Was that Pope John? Was that Pope John? That guy, the big guy. He was big.
And in comes the Pope.
Pope John.
Pope John, yeah.
The 24th? Wasn't he? Was that his number? Pope John.
I remember the number because
my number comes to my head.
I remember seeing the Life magazine and all these cardinals in their royal robes sitting in a row.
Well, what year is this?
This is Utant was the secretary general.
He was for
Robert
a while.
Retired in 85. This is probably in the 70s, early 70s.
Well, then maybe it was Paul.
Yeah, that was a hard question. I'm going to look that one up.
Yeah. Pope John was dead, I think, by then.
And you think about it. Think
what?
About it.
What about what?
Everybody has a dream inside of them. And so my dream, and you were talking about my book, is that every conversation that everybody has can lead to peace. How many conversations do people have and they say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. I never should have talked to them. I said to myself, wait a minute. And so I wrote the book with my co-authors, Revolutionary Conversations. And you know what revolutionary means? Change. And I said, change your conversation and you'll change your world if you only understand how to have that conversation.
If I was your editor, and I'll just play this part here right now, I would have said to you, why you call it Revolutionary Conversations, it's kind of making it sound radical.
All of a sudden you're going to make sense to a person you're talking to. It's radical that you're going to get along. That is radical.
Yes, but the word revolution never connotates peace. They never say, how about that Gandhi? What a revolution he provoked.
But he did.
Yes, literally, right. And I like literal interpretations. But when you say revolutionary conversations,
the tools you need for the success you want.
Didn't anyone ever come up to you, not knowing anything and saying, is Castro in this book? Is Fidel Castro in this book? Or is it the other name? I don't know.
It's really interesting that not many people, once they take our workshop, Change Your Conversation, Change Your Life, Change Your World, that we looked up the word revolutionary before we did it. Yeah. You know, we were trying to have people understand They don't have to have conversations that end up in anger. We don't have to have conversations that end up in war. So what an idea, what a revolutionary idea,
yeah,
that with our five steps, stop, help, ask, risk, and explore.
Oh, let's go over this here. Wait, we got to write these down. I want my audience to write this down now, and then we'll talk about it. And like, here and there, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. You know, I have to do that.
Well, right? I like you, so you can, and I will just be right here listening.
I so appreciate that. I like you too, Barb, and I just don't know where you came up with that conclusion about me, but let's go through the five things.
Read your websites. You know, people, if you don't know about this Frank guy, go on the internet.
Yeah,
he is world famous. Oh, he probably, you didn't invent radio, but you certainly invented talk shows.
I invented talk shows on internet radio. No one was before me.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that?
And you know what else that I appreciate about you the most?
What?
You are steadfast.
Steadfast.
Know people appreciate radio.
Mm-hmm.
I love radio. I turn it on as soon as I get in the car.
It's dying. It's dying so badly, you know?
Yeah.
Radio is dying. The book, let's try and sell some, is available at Amazon, of course, right? Isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Revolutionary Conversations. And what's the subtitle? Every book has a subtitle. Tools You Need.
For the success you want. Mm-hmm.
Because essentially nobody wants to fail. Everybody wants to succeed in something, right?
And how many conversations do you have a day, Frank? Think about it.
With myself?
It's
endless.
You're good, Frank.
It's endless.
Everybody has your gift. You have a gift for asking questions.
You
have a gift for understanding. Now, a lot of people just say, are you kidding me? Why did you say that, you screwball? And then they walk away. Was that a conversation?
No, but I've been called a screwball. I don't know how many times. And I particularly like that word. I always like that word. You know, screwball comedies, and they don't make screwball comedies anymore.
No, I was a Hollywood Rotarian. I'm the second woman Rotarian in
really?
The whole planet.
Really?
I was a young girl, and I opened up my Hollywood office, and my lawyer said, you know, they just passed a law that women could join Rotary. And I said, I'm in. So in 1987, I became a Rotarian. And now I have started the E-Rotary Club of World Peace, because I believe world peace is possible with people like you, Frank, calling me up. Thank you.
Well, there's no more Rotary phones, so you have to.
Right.
Right. That's gone, too.
Very good.
No more Rotary phones. I grew up with Rotary phones.
Yeah, phone booths, either, are there?
No. Maybe that might be a good thing. We'll have to see how that works out. The the five things are what? Again, let's go through them one by one.
Okay, let's just remember this.
Okay.
When you're in a car and you're driving along, why do you stop at a stop sign? To be safe, to go forward. The same thing in a conversation. Before you jump on the person who said something you don't like.
So stop is the first one? Stop is the first one.
Stop's the first one, S-T-O-P. You stop the conversation for clarity and communication effectiveness. So it's S-T-O-P. Stop before you start screaming at that person. If it's your mother, your daughter, or just stop a minute. Take a breath. And then say, I need a little help.
Help?
That's the second one.
You say
I
want
to ask you if I can ask you a question.
Help is the second one?
Help. I need a little help. To develop an environment for support and teamwork. I have an office in Costa Rica, too. And one day I wanted to transfer some money. And they said, are you kidding? You're in the United States. You can't transfer any money. And I hung up.
Oh, you got an offshore account, do you?
So I called back and I said, I'm Barbara in the United States and I need your help. Oh, I'll be glad to help you. I didn't demand anything. I asked for help. It's the glue that holds the conversation together.
Yeah.
And then you ask a question for better understanding. So it's stop, help, ask.
Ask
risk.
Is next. Okay, ask, and then?
Risk.
Risk. Now we're getting into my territory. Risk. Go ahead.
If you understand that person, if you understand that you are now on the same page, you now have a conversation destiny. And so you take a risk and say, you know, I heard you tell me that you would like us to change something dramatic in the house or in our business. Well, I'm going to take a risk here, and I'm going to say, I have an idea. Would you be open to hearing my idea? So what it does is it allows the conversation to move forward with all of you bringing your ideas on the table. And the very last step is explore. Once you have everybody kind of on the same page, staff meetings, team meetings, then you deliver the word explore. May I take a moment and let's explore this idea. Let's take one idea at a time. And nobody's right and nobody's wrong, but let's just explore and see where we can go with this. And so it's stop, help, ask, risk, and explore. And guess what it spells? Share.
That's right. It does. I just saw that. And I hate those word games.
Yes, yes.
I don't like those jumble games.
To create a conversation destiny that doesn't allow you to not hear. It allows you to be flexible. It allows you to engage with the person. And it's a real gift, because I saw negotiations where peace die because people said, it's my way. And then the other person said, no, it's my way. Well, what kind of a conversation is that? You're both yelling at each other. So I would say, let's stop the conversation. Let's see if we can help each other understand each other.
Hey, Barb, did that just happen? Share? Did that just happen? Or did you look for words that worked to make that happen?
Well, we were teaching the course at UCLA to business executives. And it was a real organic development, because we were teaching the course at UCLA. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, these men and women who were in business were saying, these tools work. And we were saying, these tools, huh? And so the first one was and he said, not only do they work at work, but I took it home and my wife and I had the first conversation where we didn't yell at each other. So we started paying attention, and we realized every single time for a conversation to move forward, they had to stop. Then they asked for help and they asked for questions, and then they took a risk, and then they explored. And even the children of these families were changing. And so we started to put down what was going on. It took 5 years to write the book.
Wow.
To make it so simple that anybody, and you know, I'll read the back of the book.
Yeah, read the back of the book for us.
It says here, if we can't communicate our thoughts and ideas, we won't be successful. This share book helps you make sure what you say is actually heard. And I wish I would have had this when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have made so many mistakes. Yeah. And this one, Carol Donovan said, unlike other change programs that make use of stiff routines and big words, these tools focus on everyday interactions. And this means a more natural flow. I like that, don't you?
I like that. I like the idea that people should learn to communicate. And I think that a lot of people may think that they need maybe a better vocabulary or a better whatever it is. They don't feel confident enough to express themselves. But
I don't know enough. But how can I enter this conversation? They're smarter than I am. That's all monkey talk.
What monkey talk? Yeah,
settle down. You know, I own a PR company, and some of the clients that have been my most successful in the initial interviews, I didn't say too much. I just let them talk, and I would ask a question.
Right.
And then at the end, they'd say, you're hired. Best interview I ever had. Well, I hardly said anything, but I really paid attention, and I would ask important questions. These tools give you the way to get out of stress.
Right.
They give you the way to have a conversation. You know, people are texting, right? I remember this little grandma said to me, you know, my grandson said to me, Grandma, quit calling me. Text me. She said, I will never text you. You better learn how to use the phone, because I'm calling you every week.
I agree that, you know, verbal communication has, you know, the reason why this is so popular, is because it alleviates something that people naturally, emotionally have a problem with, and that is face to face talking with somebody and being accountable for what you say and trying to believe that whatever you're saying, people understand or even wanting, right? Yeah. Because it's so emotional. So my question to you is, you give this to, the people who are reading this book have to first be aware, right? That, that something emotional is weighing them down. Or what do you think is weighing people down if they don't, right? I mean, two people are yelling at one another. There's emotions involved. It has nothing to do with they're not thinking through this, right?
Right. So I think you got it, kid. You got it. It's emotional, and a lot of people carry it around with it. And
yeah, I mean, a lot. How about almost everyone?
They carry around the emotional outburst that somebody gave to them instead of going up and saying, I'll have my partner, Mark Fowler, who wrote the book with me, and Noel McDonald. He tells me about somebody said, Mark Fowler, he's a business, helped re-engineering professional. And he said, this man said to him, you don't know what you're talking about. How do you expect us to get $1 million? We'll lose our business. And Mark said, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about. He didn't say, you son of a gun, you pairing me big mucks here. He just said, I don't know what I'm talking about. And the guy went on. And then pretty soon the guy settled down. He just repeated the words the guy said, and then he asked, may I ask you a question? It seems that you feel I should be doing more about something, but I don't know what the something is. Before they were done, this guy was on the team. He said that Mark was the best person he ever worked with in business, mm-hmm. and they got $1 million loan because Mark took him through his upset. His upset. He was more upset with the company failing than he really was with Mark. How many times have you been upset about something and somebody just happens to walk right by you and you just give it to them? My husband and I always say, you just barked at me. And I said, I sure did. I wonder why. And so last night we were going to bed and I said, oh, I'll put your phone over here. Don't put my phone over. Aha, I said, you just barked at me too. I love it. We're going to bark at each other now and then.
Sure.
But sweetheart, let's have a conversation about where you want me to put your phone.
It's important to channel the correct amount of angst and anger, or at least know, right, mm-hmm. that you have that at the time and to be able to control it. The problem I guess most people have is that their emotions fuel that, and lots of times they're angry at themselves because they can't express themselves totally or the way they want to, and they don't even know why they feel the way they feel. So,
we take a lot of responsibility, don't we, when we're just trying to have a conversation. My late husband, Robert Mueller, said, you know what? I'm going to try to make peace on the planet, and I'm going to have one day a year, September 20. In fact, my late husband died on the eve of International Peace Day.
When is International Peace Day?
It's tomorrow.
Really?
International Peace Day is tomorrow.
We happen to be here just on the eve? The International Eve? Okay.
He's the one that invented the World Peace Day. And on the eve of International Peace Day at the age of 88, I'm 20 years younger, he died. Uh-huh. And make a long story short, I said, how appropriate to die on that eve of International Peace Day. So every year on the International Peace Day, I have the honor of giving a peace prize to somebody in our community who is working on the local level for a global issue. And this year it's going to Deepa Willingham, who is a gifted woman from India who is helping with schools for girls to keep them out of the sex trafficking slave.
Uh-huh.
And to bring their moms and dads into the school so that they don't sell their children. This is a horrible thing to say. Sell their children for grocery money.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. You know, it brings up a good point. And that is that this particular campaign for peace on earth.
Peace on earth.
But peace on earth, okay, is, you know, this is wonderful to promote this and to explain it.
Every
and to talk
about it now. Isn't that amazing?
What?
In 1982, he and Pathways to Peace, Ava Madison, said, I want to have a day of peace, one day where we do not shoot each other. So let's create that day, and it's September 21 annually when the UN General Assembly usually starts. And on that day, it allows us to remember that peace begins with me. And I say it starts with the conversation. You remember the song, Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin with Me. Well, that was written by Jill Jackson Miller. Jill Jackson Miller went to visit my husband when he was the Assistant Secretary General, and she was very depressed. And my husband said, why are you so depressed? She said, because I can't make a difference in this world. Nothing I do makes a difference. And he said, well, what do you do? She says, I'm a songwriter. He said, well, why don't you write a song about peace? And she did. And she wrote the song, Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me. So then I go and I interview all these peacemakers because I have a radio show about peace, mm-hmm. the power of peace. And every one of them, when I say, what does peace mean to you and where does it begin? They say, peace begins with me. We have to hold it in our bodies. We have to know that peace is possible. We have to seek peace. It's like losing your wallet. You don't know where the heck it is. But if you don't look for your wallet, you're never going to find it. So if you don't look for peace, you're never going to find it.
We're right at the top. See how quickly this show goes? We're right at the top of the second hour. You can stay for the rest of the show, can't you?
I sure can. Okay. But you know, let peace begin with me. And I wish you a day of peace tomorrow. So what does the rest of the show look like?
I just want to do this piece right now, and then we can move on. And I just got to tell everyone, you're listening to Cotolo Chronicles and the wonderful, peaceful Barbara Muller. I left the gone out. It's gone. Uh-huh. It's gone. I left the gone out is with us. And she has a history, an incredible history of wonderful things that she's done with wonderful organizations like the United Nations. Uh-huh. It is, isn't it? Wonderful.
That's our global voice, Frank.
Why did the League of Nations fall apart? Why did the League of Nations fall apart? And then they went right back and started the United.
They weren't ready for it. If we would have had the League of Nations, we wouldn't have had as many wars. But the world wasn't ready.
We weren't ready
Roosevelt to get in there. We needed a Roosevelt.
Yeah.
We needed people who were willing to put their life on the handle of that. And that, you know, the United Nations, the charter was signed October 24th. And now we're going to have on 2020, we will be 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest United Nations Association in Santa Barbara. The United Nations Association is the local arm of the global voice for the UN. And I hope people who are listening will go to unasb.org and look at what we're doing in Santa Barbara. We're just a little town, but we are working very hard.
I like Santa Barbara, and of course, I'm the best place I feel that I ever lived in my life is San Diego, and I love San Diego. Where is your orchard in San Diego? Do I know where? I live there.
Mount Helix.
Okay, Mount Helix. Yes, mm-hmm. I know that.
Yeah, I know it's filled with houses.
I lived in Leucadia, which is that little...
Leucadia.
You know now Leucadia, right?
Gigantic city.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, it was a beautiful town. The train went, the Amtrak went right through it. Still does, I'm sure.
I know all this because I was raised in San Diego. And I left San Diego and moved to Santa Barbara to go to college. When the Jack in the Box moved next door.
Yeah.
I lost my beautiful town.
It's still a great place.
In the neighborhood.
Isn't it a great place still, though, even though they closed the gap between Los Angeles and San Diego?
There, Frank. Huh? The whole family's there.
I used to walk the beach at night. I talk about those nights all the time. I'm going to go back there someday.
Well, I hope you do. And, you know, you can do your job anywhere. You just need
this advice. This is not my job, dear. What's the phrase? I've never
You're
done.
Actor and a movie star.
Oh, forget it. The point I'm trying to make here is,
have a passion.
I think as I get older, I forget these little phrases that, this is a work of
something. I don't know. We all do that. That's why I had chocolate.
Chocolate's good for your memory, right?
I carry black chocolate with me. It's called dark chocolate.
Yeah.
And I get it at the dollar store.
Do you know M&M's has white chocolate M&M's now? Did you know that?
No, I haven't seen that
one. Oh, boy. That's where's this world coming to? So, Barbara, when you're how do you work from the United Nations where you are in Santa Barbara?
Well, that's the good news. Okay. We have the Internet. I do my Power of Peace podcast. And you can go to Power of Peace podcast.
I want
to
know about that. I don't know about the Power of Peace. Let's tell everyone.
What I do is I interview the peacemakers on our planet, and I put them up on podcasts on Revolutionary Conversations.
Both of them?
Dot net.
You interview the peacemakers, both of them?
All of them.
I didn't.
I've had over 200 peacemakers, my dear darling friend.
Where are all these peacemakers? What, is there a union or something? How do I know these people? Who? Like who?
I'm with you.
Name a couple of these peacemakers that people might, where do you get them? Is there a book or manual?
I read their books. What book am I reading right now?
What are you reading now?
Rooted in Peace.
Rooted in Peace.
Inspiring story of finding peace within. Ted Turner was my late husband's friend. Desmond Tutu.
Oh, Desmond. I've heard of him.
Finch, all these people who are peacemakers, I call them up and I say, hi, I'm Barbara Mueller. Today I'm going to be having the Power of Peace podcast.
So
you will be on the internet for the rest of my life.
How do you find them? Barb, I want to know about these peacemakers. How do you find these peacemakers?
I just find them by reading their book, going on the internet, getting their phone number. And all of them are on Zoom. I use Zoom. Because I can see them, they can see me. I have my own studio. You know what I did? I put cardboard in the window, put on the lights, and started doing these podcasts.
Yeah.
I don't need a big old microphone. I just need peace in my heart.
You should see where I work. You got about, your CBS compared to me. I've broken all this ground so that you people out there can do these things. Now listen, do you have a sponsor for your, podcast? You just do it? It's an act of, geez, I almost thought I thought it would just slip out of my mouth, but it didn't. It's a labor of love. That's it. Labor of love.
I'm making Revolutionary Conversations.
Yeah, there you are. You are. Yeah. This isn't though, is it? This isn't. I'm learning about Revolutionary.
Revolutionary Conversations are asking, what is peace? What does peace mean to you? And is peace possible? I also do the interviews for the Rotary E-Club of World Peace. This week I interviewed David Krieger, the founder of the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation. He's been president since 1982. I have been a very, very big magnet.
I'm sure you are, but here's something I got. I got to ask you this though. We got like all these guys are writing these books about peace, and they're sitting around and they're cerebral. They're using this stuff, and they're doing and they're talking through them the book, and they get the book published, maybe make a couple of bucks or whatever it is, and they want people to read about peace so that they could do what? Who's acting? Are these guys just writing this stuff, or are they out there doing something? Because let's face it, peace schmish, you got to get out there and do stuff, right? Don't they have to, right? Who are these people who go out to these tribes? I know some people. I knew a girl, and her father devoted himself to going to Africa, and he still does this, and he makes whatever they're called, the plumbing that goes from good water into the little village where these people are still sitting there. And these are little people, and these are people who at any given time during the day can be attacked by the tribes who are out there killing animals and killing people for whatever reason and raping and stealing kids and stuff. This stuff is going on. That these guys writing the books, I hope they're doing something. I hope they're not just writing and talking, because that's, you know as well as I do, and you hear it in my voice, right? It's like, you gotta the action speaks louder than words.
And actions can be as simple as what happened in the drugstore or in the grocery store or in the filling station.
Yeah, I know, but what about all the stuff that's going on? Did they ever find all those girls that were stolen by that African, the African rebels? What, didn't they steal like 20 girls or something? And then did they ever find them?
They did, but I'll tell you something. You are so right. I'll tell you why. Because people don't realize that peace begins with me, and it begins wherever you are. I call myself a missionary in the moment. I can't solve all the world's problems. Right. People say to me, how can you be so positive when the world is so screwed up? And I say, that's the given. But what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about the world I want to leave to my grandchildren. And so I work like this. I'm in the gas station, and the guy in front of me is counting out his pennies to pay for breakfast. So I say, I'm a peacemaker, and so what can I do to bring peace to this young man? And I say to the clerk, put his breakfast on my credit card. This man looks at me, and he says, really? And I say, peace be with you. I can afford to buy your breakfast. the station attendant is shocked that I would buy his breakfast. I'm talking $6. Sure. I'm not talking 85.
Right.
So I go, I do it, and I think nothing more, and I go home. I start to go home. And the guy who's out there pumping gas says, do you know what you did? And I said, what? That man lost his job today. He was so depressed, and he came out with a smile. And I said, no kidding. He said, you gave him hope that people believed in him. And I said, all I did was just pay for his breakfast. He said, but that was exactly what he needed. So you're not going to find these opportunities. If you search for peace, you will find peace. And I'm going to tell you what I do for these people. I speak at schools, and I tell the children, when I was in 1999, when my husband and I were speaking on UN Day, October 24th, this little girl says, oh, Dr. Mueller, you're so big, I'm so little, I can't do anything. So I said, wait a minute, turn around and look at that wall. And on the wall, the bird said, peace. And I said, you want to start an international movement with me? And you know what she said?
What?
Yes. And I said, let's start Peace Corners. And if you go on the internet and you look up Peace Corner, Barbara, G-A-U-G-H-E-N, Mueller, you'll see me handing out Peace Corners in all these schools and churches. It started as a simple idea, and now I have Peace Corners all over the world, and it's a little plaque that says Peace Corner. And I have now 4,000 schools having Peace Corners, so a place where people can believe that peace is possible. But we have to be active. We have to put the word peace out there. We have to say, instead of saying goodbye, Frank, I'm going to say, thank you for talking to me, Frank, and peace be with you, not goodbye.
Where do you get gas? I want to know in case I'm hungry one day.
I have a credit card. You want a tank of gas?
I've done things like that, and I think it's great. More people should do things like that. When I lived in Los Angeles.
So how much is your gas a gallon?
Oh, out here? Well, let's see. If I get 10 cents off because I shop at Giant, I get points. Oh. So it's like $2.89 last time I.
That's cheap. We're paying $3.89.
Well, I know out in California, I know it's more out there.
Expensive. We're fueling the world from our tanks out in the middle of the ocean.
Hey, don't get cantankerous now. That's not peaceful. Take it easy. Will you?
That's great. I should get my sweetheart in here too. He's so Who's happy that? To be hearing all our words. But I tell him now, don't come in while
Who?
I'm on the radio show.
Who?
Sig Watney, my new husband. He and I met after my husband died and his wife died in 2010. We met at a cocktail party for Rotary Clubs, and we've been together ever since, and now it's 2019 almost, so we're talking about 8 years together, and that's what I say, be a magnet for peace, because you'll attract who you love.
Sig, short for Sigmund, is his name really Sigmund?
Sigurd, he's Norwegian.
Oh, Sigurd, oh, Norwegian.
Huh? Sigurd Wani, are you around out there?
Hey, Sig.
Come on in, and meet Frank.
Come out here, Sig.
Come on and meet Frank. This is my Come on, Sig. I'm still on the radio.
You're on the air, Sig. Sig, you're on the air. You don't have to watch your language either because this is internet broadcasting.
I'm in all my glory.
Okay, tell him you're in all your glory.
Why? What do you mean he's in all his glory? Is he walking around naked? What?
He was born in California, and then the depression.
Tell him nobody can see him. He's not on. Only I can see him. He's not on the air. He'd just be on the air, his voice. I want to hear his voice. I'd love
darling.
Scandinavian
anyway,
voices.
In California, and then he had to go back to Norway because his parents couldn't afford to live here during the depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he was raised in Norway, and then he eventually came back, and started Sakama, a company for making the chips in our iPhone and all the other things.
Well, wait a second. He came back and started a company making computer chips?
Uh-huh.
Where did you learn that stuff, Sig? Where did you learn that, over there?
Oh, I learned it on the way.
On the way to where?
Creative person. Get a little closer so you can talk on the radio too. He's very interested.
You created, now there's a fascinating thing that could promote, technology can promote peace, right, Barbara?
Absolutely.
That's because it's communication. You're dealing with communications. Where are you from? I know some people in Scandinavia. Where in Scandinavia are you from exactly?
Well, I was born in California.
Oh, that's certainly not Scandinavia.
Norwegian parents.
Norwegian? Where in Oslo or where? Where in Norway? Do you know?
Yeah, right around Oslo.
Okay, around Oslo. And so you spent no time growing up over there?
Yes, I did. I learned the language fluently. I speak fluently Norwegian.
Oh, I would love to speak Norwegian. You know, the only words I know are this, Nødvendigkern. I don't even know what it means. Nødvendigkern. What's that mean?
Well, I don't know exactly.
Okay. Tell us. You learned.
You have in the midst a guy that speaks fluently Norwegian. And his is what?
And then we went to Norway and we went to Iceland because they're so close. And so
Iceland's weird.
To Iceland, we saw the Watney statues. His last name is Sig Watney. His book is called Sig, His Life That Shows War Does Not Work. He also was contained in the Nazis. And so when we went to Norway, I said, Sig, why is everything named after you? In Iceland, too, and he said, because my grandfather started the shipping of herring from Iceland to the United States and became very wealthy and brought an economy to Iceland when they were so poor.
Wow. So, Sig, you're the heir to this great herring importing place. Is that it?
Sort of, but I can't lay claim to it, and I have too many people that would share the feast, so to speak, and there you are. And I enjoy part of it because herring is a big industry in Europe, all over Europe, and so I like to be part of a good thing.
We were in Iceland because we were having a family reunion. 75 Watneys got together in Iceland.
How many Watneys does it take to have a reunion, friends? 75.
Yep.
75 Watneys. That sounds like a measurement of something. Put it up there. Put about 75 Watneys we need right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Sig.
Talking in Norwegian, and it was so beautiful. Iceland is one of my favorite countries, as is Norway. In Norway, I was so impressed with the people, their kindness, their generosity, and their happy children. And in Norway, when your children are born, you get a whole year off, both mother and father, and full pay so that you can be home with your child. And these children are so calm. They're so happy. I can take pictures, not of the fjords, but of the children.
The fjords, right. Cry me a fjord. Sig, was it a big family? Did you grow up in a big family? Because Europeans and up Scandinavians, always big families, right?
No, just one or two childs out of each.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a small country, I guess.
Okay. They always come visit us, right? His brother, Carl Otto.
Carl with a K.
Four children. They each had three children. So don't be listening to Sig. He only had two children. But a lot of them have three and four children.
Okay, so there. Yeah. Especially back in those days.
The Watneys.
The Watneys, 75 Watneys there were. How many generations of 75 Watneys?
Well, that one was mostly Sig's generation, probably two. Because they didn't even bring their children. We didn't have enough room for all the children.
Sig, tell us, what chip did you invent, create, or I guess invent would be the word. What did you bring to the digital theater that wasn't there before?
Well, I brought Sikama, which is I forget the name now.
Well, he created the wafers that we...
Wafers?
Systems.
The which? Say it again, please.
The soldering systems that create the wafers that make the chips that go in our telephones.
Jack built. Yeah, that's amazing. That's incredible. Where did you get the knowledge, Sig? Where did you,
Basically, I got the knowledge in high school.
Okay. And you went to high school here? California?
No. I picked it up on the way, and
he was in Norway. Remember, he went back after the Depression.
Yeah. I know. I lost count of the. I lost the the time span here, the timeline. Yeah.
So he was in Norway until he became a, were you on the ship?
I was a radio operator on the Norwegian freighter right after the war. We'll be going in freighter part all over Europe.
And that's why I loved him so much, because he spoke five languages. He had been under the Nazis. He believed war does not work. His book is incredible, S.I.G. by Sigurd Watney. And as you listen to his story about how war doesn't work, the Nazis would line all these kids up after the movies and shoot every other one to scare them out of their wits.
Mm-hmm.
And Sig was lined up, but he didn't get shot. Why? Because he had a destiny, I think, but I don't know. We're just lucky.
Well, luck plays a big part in everything. We know that. But Sig, what do you do now? You're retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do now?
Retired now, right?
Yes, I'm retired. I turned my company over to my older son.
Mm-hmm.
So he's running that and having a good time with soldering electronic parts.
Who wouldn't have fun soldering, huh? Who doesn't love to solder? I ask you. But
that's right. And I started the first radio I made was a crystal set, and that was under the noses of the Germans.
A solder of fortune.
Well, that's how it started.
Really? So the war inspired you to do something for communications. Is that it?
It's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And, My grandfather had been rich enough before World War I to buy a crystal set, which he was listening to BBC and other European stations. And so I copied it and made others during the war, and the Germans were after me all the time to find out where in the hell I got the idea of making a crystal set and copy the news.
And you know why he did it? How he got away with it? He made the crystal set on a roll of toilet paper on the cardboard, and then he would carefully wind all the toilet paper back on and have the little earbuds sticking out, and he could hear the BBC.
And what's the name of this? S.I.G. is the name of this book, Sig?
S.I.G. Sig.
Well, we're promoting that there, too. Where can that also be gotten?
Amazon.
And you know, I just tell you, your life is just a miracle. If people will just stop having so much upset, think of the world we could have, as Sig and I have found, when you have peace in your planet. Peace, all the power of peace. If we had peace, these children wouldn't have to be worried about starving to death, because we'd have enough land for them to grow vegetables on, not shoot them, ruin their homes. There's so much about peace that is just impossible to imagine a world. How screwed up can we get when we have to shoot a neighbor? But does that bring peace? No.
Well, you know, things are definitely different. See, you know, we've all read history. I mean, it's not like, you know, Genghis Khan took over what? Did he take over like 80% of the world at a certain point? You know, it's true. We're all kind of descendants of Genghis Khan, of what happened with this great
empire. We're a nation of immigrants. That's the other part that I tell people. I wouldn't be here if my grandfather wouldn't have immigrated. Sig wouldn't be here if his parents wouldn't have immigrated. You probably wouldn't be here if your grandparents didn't immigrate.
Yes, it's true. I'd be here if my grandparents didn't immigrate, and if they weren't caught and captured. Right.
And this is our heritage, the miracle of our lives. It is so wonderful. And people just forget that life's worth living. But you have to have a dream for peace. And then wherever you go, you practice that peace. Remember, peace begins with me.
All right, let me ask these both a question, each.
Okay, we're ready.
What depresses you? Sig, why don't you start? And you're sitting around, I know we talk about how we get out of it and do our peace and all the great things we have around us, and we're happy to be alive at this moment and everything. But what makes you sit back and go, ay, this is just terrible?
Well, there's always a downfall in in something that comes along that you have in to dream of. And so that was one of the things, is that people would find the crystal sets, and then the Germans, instead of making more crystal sets, they would shoot the guys that had them, and so they, all of a sudden, there were no more crystal sets made. But there's always somebody that's in the loft somewhere that comes up with an idea and fosters it, and it becomes an entity.
And that, of course, exists today. I was talking before about this very platform that we talk upon and talking with, and makes us, allows us to communicate all these different ways, that as soon as the internet became popular, there were enough people to find out how to discover how to scam it, how to work, how to do very bad things on it, and, you know, criminalize it. And, of course, there is now the dark web, which is an entirely different place where you could go do and buy and bad things that do not provoke peace are sold on this, right? I mean, it's criminal.
There's something about that, that there's something, negative news is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Negative things, the brain is very interesting. That's the old brain. The old brain is the one that shoots people, that likes the dark side. But the new brain, the most recent brain, is the one that's of compassion and harmony. And I'm reading in this book today, and they were talking about as the different times when you think about how the brain has evolved. And one of the biggest secrets, and I wish every pregnant woman out there who's listening to you, or every new mom, will hold their children and cuddle them. They have found that prisoners have never been hugged or loved by their parents, that they didn't have that frontal lobe that is the compassionate, harmonious lobe, mm-hmm. that keeps you from doing horrible things and watching the black sure. internet or whatever.
Sure.
It develops through love. Love is the answer. I was talking to David Krieger on my radio show yesterday, and I said, David Krieger, what do you think this world needs? More love and understanding, because when you love, your creative brain can operate and solve some of our world's problems.
What depresses you, Barb? You didn't answer.
What depresses me the most is the fact that some people have so much potential, but they just won't let it out. Mm. I have a friend who wrote me a note, and she said, you see the best in everyone. And I said, well, I do. I just do. And she said, and that's why people don't know you very well, because they don't believe you. They don't know themselves as well as you know them. And I just try to be positive. And I almost lost a job once because I was so positive. So my boss said, you can't be doing any work, because if you were working, you wouldn't be so happy. I said, are you kidding? I love what I'm doing. Why shouldn't I be happy? If I love what I'm doing, I should be happy. And so he turned around and I got to keep my job, but he was so confused because he was used to grouchy people working for him.
Well, that's one of the things that's one of the situations, of course, that make people upset and anguished and angry, is they don't do what they like, right?
And that is really horrible. How many people sit in their car 1 hour to work and 1 hour on the way home, and when they get home, they're just miserable. Their kids don't get any love. They don't get, it's just.
But you know, this is a problem though in culture, in human culture. Tell us, Sig, come in on this when I mention this, what you think about this. And that is that if everybody does what they like, okay, you have to have X amount of people who like the things that nobody wants to do. Because who's gonna Plum. We're all going to need plumbers. We're all going to need electricians. We're all going to need these people who do things that don't like to do these things. And we, you and I, and people who are gifted and walk around and we go like, I love it because all my life I've done things I want to do. And then you're in a restaurant. Can I have a sandwich? And, you know, and the waitress is like, yeah, bitch, I want to do it. I don't want to do that. You know, it's like, well, why don't you do what you like? But I can't. I got to pay my rent. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? People, not everyone can do what they like to do. How do you get people to like what they do?
Hold it.
Go.
There is enough good things being developed that's going to outshine the bad things that gets hidden by the bastards that are porting around with giving a bad word.
Yep. So we believe that even, okay, let's suppose this waitress is miserable and you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You can compliment her. Right. Tell her, thank you for coming to work. And thank you for serving my sandwich.
I agree, and I do that, and I try to bring any kind of light I can to these people. But, you know, I'm just doing that, and for a brief moment or a couple of minutes, it's fine.
What are you doing now? You're doing what you love. You're talking on the radio. You love this. And I believe that if we give people the opportunity to do what they love, this world would change.
Yeah, but then would we have plumbers? Would we have?
My plumber loves his job. Are you kidding?
Well, okay, that's what I'm saying. We have, in this day and age, and you know this, Sig, too, in this day and age, people, kids are growing up, they're going to school, and they are thoroughly into the digital world. No one wants to pick up a hammer and start building something. Now, very few people that used to be, they used to do that, right? I'm the son of a plumber, and I almost killed myself trying to learn how to plumb because I can't. I can't plumb. So,
well, you know, what you're saying is, Sig, what were you going to say?
Go, Sig.
I'm going to say that if you have a person that discovers that he gets one tone with one hammer because of the weight, pretty soon you got an orchestra going with somebody playing music and everybody is dancing.
Right, but they have no house to live in and nowhere to go to the bathroom. Do they?
We have to leave by 7:35. We have to go drop off the wine for our party tomorrow night. But they close at 8, so we're going to have to leave. But golly, Irwin, if you're listening to this show, Irwin Zucker, the best PR person in the world,
he will
I
hear
want
it.
To thank you yes. for getting me with this this icon.
Screwball is more like, right? This screwball.
No, you're an icon. I see your little up there. I look at your little face up there. We have the most amazing ability to get to the truth of things. But I really want to wish everybody peace in their life, and I want to wish them a happy International Day of Peace tomorrow.
I'll continue to promote that so that everyone knows it. And you come on again. We'll have you on again. We'll talk about more stuff.
I would love it. I have to wait till after I get my peace show done.
Yeah.
But I would like to be on once a month and we can carry on this conversation, right, Frank?
Sure. Sure. And then, you know, I'll come on your peace show.
Thank you. Oh, I might just
do like
that.
Me on your peace show. I'll give you a piece of my mind. Peace.
Oh, you are funny, my God.
Sig, and I want Sig on again, too. You bring Sig back next time, too.
I will. And, you know, people who want to know more about this Revolutionary Conversations, it's called revolutionaryconversations.net. And they can see the Power of Peace podcast there.
Yes.
Or if they want to know about our UNASB.org. God bless you, Frank.
Oh, hey. Thank you, too. Dear, we'll talk. Thank you for being here, and we'll talk again. Good night, Sig.
Good night.
Navern de Kern. don't say goodbye. You said no goodbye. You said
peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Woo! That was a great show. Okay. This guy's fabulous.
See you later.
I can't believe him. He is just absolutely fabulous.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Oh, heard that?
Peace. Okay.
Oh, peace, my love.
Later. There goes Sig and Barbara. I gotta tell you, kids, I did not expect her to be like that. Like what, right? Like what, Frank? I didn't expect someone, I thought it was gonna be someone more academic. I didn't think she'd be so, what's the word? It's a sound, but what's the word? So outward, it's gotta be, you know, I know, I'm a writer, and I speak on the radio. But lots of times words, you know why words escape me? Because I'm looking for the right ones all the time. And I don't have time. I don't edit, right? I didn't think she'd be so vocal, so sing-songy, so expressive, so talky, so exuberant. See, now I'm fine. Now I'm a walking thesaurus. Here, look out! It's a thesaurus! And, my name, by the way, had you been listening and not knowing what you were listening to because you tuned in earlier or later, that was, and will be again sometime, Barbara Gone Muller and Sig. Sig, I don't know his last name, but I gotta find this book. A guy who invented something for crystal radios and escaped the Nazis. This is like, this is a movie like James, like that James, yeah, James Cagney should have been in, right? And right? They're shooting people. This guy is online with kids and the Nazis or Nazis are shooting every other one and he just happens to be one in the middle. What did I tell you about luck? What do we talk about? Luck. And then he goes on to do something with Crystal Radio and starts a business and that has that with phones. Oh my goodness. I'm telling you, the world is still filled with incredibly, he's an old guy too. You didn't see him. I saw him because they came on, with the Skype looking. I don't do that, of course. I did it once in a while, but I don't do it anymore. Why? Because it's radio. And she didn't know that. But she did dress up. She had jewelry and wore a wonderful, she had a dress, black dress on. And a black dress. It's wonderful. You're coming to Cthulhu Chronicles. Wear black. Okay? Make sure you wear black. And what happened? Sig. S-I-G is the name of that book. We're gonna look it up. You should look it up. And we're gonna find it. Her book. Revolutionary Conversations. And what did we talk about? It talks about the five things. And these are all good things. I know I joke and what have you, but, because I have to take everything lightly, but that's me. And it turns out to be okay, because unless people say you're a screwball or you never take anything seriously, which they do, and then they hate me. But that's okay. Okay? But stop. Help, ask, risk, explore. I like this because I do this stuff too. Although I have, mine is not just share. Mine is share A, share A, share A. See, I have an A at the end. Mine is stop, help, ask, risk, explore, annoy. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man whose name adorns the title of the show, Barbara. Oh, where are you supposed to go to? Let's see, I wrote it down here too, again. There's a website, US, it's, what is it? I had it, and then I lost it. Wait, I put it right here, didn't I? U.S., U.N., U.S.A., where is it? Oh, here it is. UNAUSA.com. Let's see if that's the one. I want to make sure you have the right one. USA, well, no. U, I don't even know. It's dead. 5 seconds ago I said it. I don't know. U-N-A, where'd it go? It's only two pieces of paper. How could I miss UNA, USA? I don't know if there's a dash. I don't think you could put a dash. USA. I don't think you could put a dash in .com. In a URL. Can you? No, you can't. Maybe you can. C-O-M. C-O-M. USA. Visit. Yeah, USA. Oh, yeah, look, and there's a... Okay, visit. Let me visit this. Here it is now. I see it. Human rights... Human rights close to home. Celebrate this October with UNA, USA. If you're listening in beyond the time zone, because if you're listening to the live stream and you are in a country, a place on Earth where it's the 21st of September, then it is International Peace Day. For those of you in the America, in the Western Hemisphere? No. We're the Eastern Hemisphere then. Oh, gosh. So down under the southern hemisphere, or is that the southwestern hemisphere? I'm telling you, I bet. If it's not midnight tomorrow yet, then, you know, here it is, United Nations Foundation, UNA, USA. And there's things here like, you know, about me, United Nations. You'll learn more about what they do. They do a lot of things. Remember, I don't know if you remember this. What about UNICEF, United Nations International Children's Fund? I remembered that. What about the Peace Corps? Hello? Right? These places, these are programs of action. And that's what I was telling her. One thing to sit down, I'm going to write this book about peace, and then I'll write another book about peace and how everyone should have peace. Yeah, well, you're at peace because you're writing a book about peace. Why don't you do something, you know? Act, behave, do it. And the United Nations does a lot of this stuff, too. So we should put a lot of money into this, right? Model UN, advocacy. Okay, look, there's all this. Let's look at this for a second. No, wait. Membership? Get on. What's get on? Let's look at this way. Get on. UNA USA's network of youth leaders advocating for global progress. Global progress. You hear that? Should be listening to that. Project designed for human rights. World Day. Wait a second. July 30th is the word you learn about these things. Is the World Day against trafficking in persons. I can't see the rest of that. I'm not really, in purse. Come on, what does it say? Today marks 2018 World Day Against Traffic in Persons. Trafficking. Right? This horrible thing. People selling children. Well, okay, and then what else is here? Lots of things. Look at this. Look at this. 2030 now, the Sustainable Development Goals. World-renowned chef Lydia Bastianich. Oh, it goes. It's one of those sweeping things. It's moving by. Meet Michael Scott Peters. Who the heck is this guy? He is. Oh, he's the guy from World Day Against Trafficking Persons. Is that what he does? Meet him. He's a youth observer to the UN. What'd he do? Sit around and go, hey, that guy's young. Right over there. He's young. That's a youth. Okay, I'm going to watch him because I'm a youth observer. I didn't take everything literally, and so you understand. Take a listen now to Cthulhu Chronicles. What else here? Elevate the voice of young people at the United Nations as the U.S. youth observer. I want to be a youth observer. I'd be fired in a day because they'd go, okay, Frank, what do I do? Walk around the lobby and tell you, yes, tell me, look, there's a young person, and I think that person's from Africa. It's not a racist comment. I'm just, you know, I know, right? I'd get into trouble no matter what. Standing up for human rights from Geneva to Boston. There are some people doing things. This is what I'm trying to say. There are people doing things, all right? They're not just talking and listening. They're not just writing stuff. Come on. They had to go pick up soda? Did she say we have to go pick up soda? I said, you can be here for the rest of the show, right? She had no idea how long the show goes on, right? But she was just the accolades. Well, believe me, I know she researched me because she's that kind of person. And we did get along, and we will get along again. But that's something, isn't it? What's something, Frank? The whole thing is something. I thank you, Irwin, wherever you are. Irwin comes up with some great people. He's a classic. I'd love to sit down at, you know what? I'd like to be at Cantor's Deli. Cantor's Deli, where I used to go all the time with my beloved passed away. He wasn't passed away at the time. My beloved friend, Bruce Tabor. And I used to go to Cantor's, a Jewish delicatessen. I think it was on Fairfax Avenue or Street. It was in L.A., and that was called some kind of, I don't know, Hebrew Valley or whatever it was called back then. Very Jewish neighborhood. Cantor's. I would love to go have a matzo ball soup and a corned beef sandwich, maybe with you ready for this? A potato knish with Erwin Zucker. That would be a great, I'd love, like a big table with some of my friends. She says, how many people do you talk to in a day? Oh, well, I know. I'm just saying do things. And that, you know, the little things you do, like I do, these little things, I guess that's a part. I didn't even know I was supporting peace in that way. I had no idea that's what was going on with me. I had no idea that stuff was going on at all. I just wanted to, but it's true. You should do it. You should do it, right, Josh? Everybody's talking to everybody. Because that's true.
Everybody's talking about the
and this and the that and the UN, the BN, UN, the UNCOLA. The UN Coalition. Right here on Cotolo Chronicles. That's what you've been listening to. There's really no reason to waste 15 minutes of a life, right? We'll say thank you very much to Barbara and Sig. The book is Revolutionary Conversations. And in the background, of course, the crazed peace man himself, John Lennon. Oh, boy, I don't really want to get into it. I'm just looking for Paul. I got the video up there. I'm looking for Paul. Oh, those were the days. Those were not the days. Come on. Where's Paul, my friend? Paul Williams, a man who supported this show and helped people understand that this was a broadcasting thing going on. Revolution, meditation, meditation, revelation, never on and on and on. Congratulations. Okay. I don't see Paul. I'm trying to keep talking, John. I never wanted to be a bus driver. Anyway. So with that in the background, let's call it a show. What do you say? Fades out. Just fade it out there. That's all we're saying. Give it a chance. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man whose name adorns the title of this show. And I don't want to do a commercial. I don't really want to do anything else now. We talked. We did that wonderful stuff. So let's just, we don't have to bring anybody else in here until Tom Savino comes back. So why don't we just hang it up? You can listen to this show archived at juicedtalk.com. Juicedtalk.com. And I say in the archive because there's plenty of other of our shows there. We hope to be here next week with another guest or just me or my secret guest from the generation, the earliest, youngest generation to be listening to this show. Anonymous. Because we're really going to get down into the fiber of the youngest listener and that generation. A lot of stuff we've been talking about. The book is Revolutionary Conversations and SIG, S-I-G. I'm going to go look about it. Look about it. Around it. Look about it. No. I'm going to go look what it's about. I mean, read the thing over there at Amazon where you buy books over there. Right? In the meantime, what about this? Why not? We can do what we want all the time. It's our show. Wake up. It's night. Never meant as much as it did then. Now. Okay, staying awake, staying alive. Thank you very much to Barbara and Sig and everyone else. Thank you, Arwen, and everyone who's listened and everything that we're going to do. Do yourself a favor and do yourself a favor along the way. Good night, Mrs. Ernst Weil, wherever you may be located. You want to know what that's all about? Go buy License to Skill. Commercial, man. I'm ruthless, aren't I? I'm ruthless. Oh, no, wait, what am I? I'm a screwball? No, wait, I'm fabulous? I don't know what. I don't know. I don't know. Good night, Mrs. Urshweiler. Wherever you need to learn your business. Let's call it a night. Because ultimately, I have nothing more to say.